3 months ago.
Oh, that's a partial eclipse. It's different. I mean, that's like the play-in. That's like the midway
game.
Yes, that's the midway tournament in the NBA season.
It's the first four in March Madness.
Yes.
Partial eclipse in North Dakota.
Welcome back to the Unrestricted, folks.
Wow, that was a big sigh.
What?
That was a big sigh, a big preparation breath.
Well, here we go. Jump right in on a Tuesday morning. How are you, boys?
Is it Tuesday?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. My bracket is totally busted.
I think that's everybody.
I have one team left.
In my office pool, there's only one person that has three of the final four.
Holy crap. Yeah. They did pretty good.
They did really well.
I'm assuming they missed on NC State.
That's
correct. I got two out of four.
That's not bad.
UConn and Purdue.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Well, I mean, how could you not have Purdue and UConn?
I think a lot of people had those, too. Yeah. But
Houston and Baylor were my other two.
Oh, my God.
That's where it goes.
Duke looked horrible.
Duke choked. Let's be honest. Duke choked. I mean, they could have won that game, and they lost who they were in the last 10 minutes of that game.
I lost interest.
Did you? Why?
I don't know. I just lost interest in the tournament this past weekend. I wasn't into it. I had Major League Baseball and all that kind of stuff going on, which is much more important in my life than college basketball is. I lost interest.
Wow, fuck off. I mean, what else can I say?
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are watching these games. They want that guy from NC State on their offensive line.
Yeah, they do.
That's a big dude.
DJ?
Big dude.
You had the guy from, the coach at UTSA now is the assistant coach at what? Alabama. So.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Yikes, in the final four. I think that's a really big thing for the UTSA.
1 year removed from a bunch of murders.
But listen, did anybody think the women's final four would be more compelling than the men's final four at any point in their entire lives? Of course not.
Well, no, but we prefaced that on this show that we thought that for the first time in the history of ever,
I think
the
you
women's
said no.
game was.
I said yes. You said no.
The women's game was as interesting as the men's.
Actually, no. I mean, if you take apart the some odd years that I've lived before this season, the women's game has been more interesting the whole bloody season.
I'm sorry, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to change what I said because it wasn't. I didn't make it clear.
No, you
didn't. I don't think the game itself was compelling. I think the people in the game are compelling. Okay, because I don't give a damn. Who cares? Who wins the women's final four? Who wins the championship? I don't care. The only thing I was interested in, because I didn't watch game two of the doubleheader on Monday night, because I didn't care. I don't care about Paige Beckers. I don't care about Gino Auriemma. I don't care about any of that stuff.
What about Juju what's her name?
No interest.
Juju
Watkins. I have no interest in watching her. The only thing I was interested in watching was Caitlin Clark.
If you did watch last night's women's quarterfinals, you saw a really interesting game with LSU and Iowa. And then if you stuck around for the later game, Walter...
Why was it interesting?
I gotta be honest with you. The second game was such a letdown. I was looking for Juju Watkins to kind of show me that she is the next Caitlin Clark. She is awfully good. She's not as compelling as Caitlin Clark. Paige Beckers, also one of the preeminent stars of women's college basketball, doesn't hold a candle to Caitlin Clark. Clark did in that early game last
Steph
night.
Steph Curry. We don't have another Steph Curry in the NBA.
No, we don't even have one in the NBA. That's right.
I don't know why anybody would pick, I'm sure there's another Caitlin Clark somewhere.
No,
no there's not. That girl's hitting threes from the freaking midcourt line.
And 30-footers.
And for me, the bigger story about Caitlin Clark isn't that. It's she just set the assist record in the tournament as well, and she has still two more games to go.
Yes, I agree.
She's everything.
She is absolutely
everything.
No
question.
She is a complete basketball player.
Did you see Mulkey's post-game presser?
No.
Saying what she said to Caitlin after the game?
No.
Yes, I did.
What'd she say?
She said, "I'm glad you're leaving."
That's a hell of a compliment.
But you know, and you bring up Kim Mulkey, and the thing that annoys me, to some degree, the game annoyed me because I don't like LSU because LSU, to me, is all about them and nothing else. It's about their fake eyelashes. It's about their coach that dresses like she's like Walt Disney threw up on her because they all want to be noticed. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. That's a fair assessment of LSU is they all want to be noticed.
You are so right. They come off to me, and I mean the entire team. You're so right. they come off to me completely unlikable. They make themselves completely unlikable by trying to shine a spotlight on themselves. The way Kim Mulkey dresses, the way...
That may be my fault and your fault. That's not... I'm not saying that's what they're trying to do, but that's the way it appears. Don't peacock around and then get mad at me for looking at you while you peacock around.
No, I'm a little bit with Walter on this. And yeah, he did. What I am struggling with is my impression of LSU versus Iowa. As I look at LSU and I see the peacocking, I see that embodiment of themselves.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark has done that same thing, hasn't she, though, Bob?
Not to my eyes. And what I'm struggling with is this, do I have latent racism? Because I look at the LSU team and I see them carry themselves in a certain way. And I look at the Iowa team and I look at themselves carry them in a certain way. And I look at the color of their skin. I'm going, is it racist bias?
No, it's not. Bob's not. Racist, you listen when you listen to Caitlin Clark after that game.
I'm not a racist if I think I'm not.
Bob's a racist if
I'm thinking about it.
Listen to Caitlin Clark even when she was interviewed going into halftime or after the game. The humility that comes out in her voice, it's a respect for the opponent. It's a respect for the game. It's a respect for the teammates. When you watch Angel Reese running down the floor in the first half, mind you, and say, "Get me the fucking ball," to her teammates, she comes off like a whiny bitch.
Don't we want that out of our athletes? I want the ball. Give me the goddamn ball.
Except you're not even the best player on your own fucking team, Walter.
But she's obviously the leader of that team.
Flo J. Johnson's the best player on that basketball team.
But is that a regional thing? Is that a Louisiana sensibility versus an Iowan sensibility? I mean, Iowans are generally kind of, as a general rule, stereotypically, kind of like, you know, we're just going to go, we're going to get the job done, we're going to be respectful. And Louisiana, New Orleans, very flashy.
There may be something to that. But I got to tell you, Angel Reese to me is completely unlikable. Completely unlikable. She plays defense when she feels like it. She walks around the floor when she doesn't feel engaged. She was 7 of 21 last night. She was not the best player on her own team.
She was hurt.
And in all fairness, she had a boo-boo on her ankle.
I am not going with that. Like, I'm not going with that. I watched that play. I still don't see where she twisted her ankle. To me, she's a diva. She's a drama queen. I'm not into her. She can go away. She can go away fast. And let me tell you what, to my point about her, about her being a drama queen, let's listen to the audio of her after the game. Just listen.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then.
Okay. Let me interject. If she's gotten death threats, I feel terrible for her. If she feels like she's been
sexual... Why are you questioning it?
I'm not questioning it.
You said if. Why would you not believe what she's saying?
I don't have personal knowledge of her getting death threats.
If she tells you she's got death threats, why wouldn't you believe her?
I don't know. Okay. Okay, do you want me to take it verbatim? Okay.
Why
wouldn't you think that's true, too? Because there's a black athlete in the United States who was going against a group of white girls from Iowa. Of course she gets death threats. Of course she's gotten racial things thrown at her. That's this country, isn't it?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I really don't.
Wow. Okay,
does this make you happy? Since she got death threats. if death threats.
If, okay? If y'all are listening to this, I haven't cut it.
And since she claims to have been sexualized, I feel bad for her. But what she is doing in that snippet is victimizing herself in a way that I cannot stand. Angel Reese reaps what she sows. Last year, she won the national title game. And in a moment of victory celebration, remember what she did to Caitlin Clark. When Caitlin Clark nowhere near her, she went across the court and gave her a what would you call it? A taunting gesture. When she could have been a graceful winner, she did not. She was not. And to walk off the court as though it comes from nowhere, the criticisms of her come from nowhere, that's crap. Don't victimize yourself for your own behavior. Don't give me that crap.
I'm not with you on this one because we've seen athlete after athlete do that same kind of stuff, including Caitlin Clark, and to criticize Reese for doing that, I don't buy it.
But there's almost a latent misogyny in it to look at female athletes. And I reacted to one thing I reacted about her presser was, you know, I've been sexualized. Well, you know, I'm looking at you, Miss Reese, and you got the fake eyelashes, you got everything. You're putting yourself out there. That's your choice. But is it, and am I so old school that I go so far back that I can't divorce those things and just go, that's who you are. And I'm not allowed to sexualize you, even though you put yourself out there to my perception that way.
Well, wait a minute. Now, she's not wearing a push-up bra. She's just wearing fake eyelashes. What is she supposed to look like? You know, a ragamuffin?
That's not fair either. I will say that Bob's point there, I knew it was going to come up, and I can't go that far because that sounds like victim blaming. I can't blame somebody for wanting to look good while they perform on the floor. I can't blame them for that. But it does beg the question, and none of us would be able to answer this. Isn't it uncomfortable to wear like fake eyelashes and like extensions in your hair during a game? Like, wouldn't you want to minimize all that crap?
I'm just guessing they're fake eyelashes because they look that way to me.
Because they are.
Because there's a couple of girls on that team that are wearing them. I don't know, but
even if they're not, they're incredibly teased.
Yeah, I don't know why we're devolving into women's makeup.
Well, it's not women's makeup. It's me trying to sit with this. I'm looking at them differently than I do the Warriors, or I look at NC State. I mean, I look at NC State and I go, man, that guy in the paint, he's a big load.
Burns. Burns Jr.
DJ Burns is awesome.
He is awesome. But here's the one thing also that's missing from that audio cut, to be fair, is we don't know what the question was and what somebody asked of her. So, to be fair.
I'm sorry. But she comes off to me as a complete diva, a complete pain in the ass. I think Kim Mulkey suspended her earlier this year, probably for being a pain in the ass. I think those are crocodile tears. She, to me, is completely unlikable. I'm a body language police officer. Her body language on the floor is that of I am bigger than my team. And by the way, Caitlin Clark has some shitty body language, too. Some very, like, Luka Doncic kind of stuff.
Oh, where, yeah.
I'm a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she whines a lot.
LSU, to me. And listen, I can't say that I'm an expert on this, because last night was the first women's college basketball game I watched from start to finish. Okay? But my one observation is LSU complains about every call that's out there.
Yep.
Every call. But...
And also swirling around. I mean, we always kind of go after our champions, go after teams that have success. And there's been a couple of hit pieces against Mulkey just in this past week, both in the LA Times and the Washington Post.
Yeah. Look, she's a weird creature. What can I tell you? Kim Mulkey's weird. Read about her if you haven't already, listeners.
Here's the one thing I'll tell you. I watched this over my Mets last night. And so this game was a big deal, and if you think it wasn't, you would be incorrect.
And it didn't disappoint you, did it?
No, it did not. I was thoroughly, because I got out of that game what I wanted to. I wanted to watch Caitlin Clark from start to finish. I was hoping to bring my daughter into the mix and have her watch the game with me, but she's in another planet, so
same,
it
same,
is what it is.
Same for me. My daughter wasn't interested, unfortunately. But I before we wind all this up on the women's game, I want to point out how good Caitlin Clark is, man. Like, those 30-footers, I don't care who you are. If you're a 30-year-old guy who played high school basketball, who's still playing every day at the gym, the shot she's making, you can't make. She is so talented and reminiscent to me of Bird in that last night, she went for 41. She had 12 assists.
And
folks,
some of those assists were
beautiful
incredible.
Looks. Yeah. Beautiful looks. I mean, really beautiful bounce passes, no-look passes, great stuff. She's 13 of 29 from the floor, 9 of 20 from three, and just dominated the game at that end of the floor. Very Larry Bird-like to me.
Yeah, and the other thing that Mulkey said in her post-game presser was she makes the players around her better.
Oh, well, no question. Big time.
And that's what makes her great.
Yeah.
No question.
She's really an amazing person to watch.
Now, listen, this was a perfect situation for women's college basketball because it went up against no one. You didn't have, and unlike, I'll throw this out there, unlike the UFL who went against everybody this weekend.
Easter included.
On Easter weekend, it's just, I mean, that's just mind-boggling how stupid they are.
No, I have a question for you all on that. I haven't looked at the attendance numbers. Do you think there were more people at Cornerstone Church than there were watching the Brahmas? Was it the opposite?
They had 13,164 at the Dome.
Then Cornerstone CBC, I think, probably outdrew the Brahmas.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sure there's more people that believe in Jesus than believe in the Brahmas, so there you go.
Well, Trump certainly does, selling his Bibles. Are you buying one of those Bibles from Wally?
Bibles are like $6. Why is it
signed? It, I might. Nobody's got more Bibles than me. I got the best ones. They got maps and stuff in them. I love them. Nobody loves me. Anyway. So real quick on the UFL. I mean, that's just asinine, wasn't it? I mean, you knew going into it, but...
it's a terrible decision.
It didn't get great attendance. It didn't get bad. 12,000 in most of the sites on Saturdays and Sundays. I forgot all about it. I didn't watch the Brahmas at all on Sunday. I completely missed it. But you know,
I'm trying to think. Last year, I don't think the Brahmas outdrew that much on their season opener, and they declined over the season.
Yeah,
but most of the other teams weren't drawing that many. So maybe
it's going to work here no matter what. It always does. Yeah. Whether it works everywhere else, that will be the question. We move on to...
Well, what would you like to talk about next? Because I want to do just a very quick thing on men's college hoops, and then I want to get to the NBA.
Okay.
All right, do the college hoops. Like I said, I got disconnected from it, so go ahead.
Real quickly, Final Four set, NC State against Purdue, Alabama against UConn. It is basically two double-digit spreads. It's 9.5 Purdue favored over NC State, UConn by 11.5 over Alabama. I think we're going to have another really uninteresting semifinals, with the possible exception of DJ Burns going against Klingon, who isn't Klingon, the 7'2 kid from UConn, right, who, by the way, against Illinois, and, you know, I was rooting for Illinois, and they had a chance in that game until they didn't, getting blown out on a 30-0 run, stretching over the half. That was an amazing run by UConn, like one for the history books there. I didn't realize Klingon could dominate a game the way he did against Illinois. If he's that guy, he's a lottery pick, don't you think?
The thing though that you take out of this tournament is the reemergence of the big.
Yeah, good point.
You got Edie, obviously. You got DJ Burns. He's not necessarily big at 6'9".
He's a big guy.
He's a big mm-hmm. load. I don't think he translates to the NBA. But and obviously you got with those two bigs. You expect to have them in the championship game.
I think you have to. I mean,
that's what you want to see, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. And I don't think Purdue stands a chance. Okay. I think UConn is just too good.
Coach is the best in the business.
Yeah, he really is. Danny Early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Early?
Danny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forgot which one it was.
Yeah, too many of them.
All right, to the NBA.
All right.
Went to Spurs Warriors the other night with my son.
I went to Spurs Knicks on Friday night, very nice. That was the best Spurs game I have seen in quite some time.
From us, from the Spurs.
From all parties.
Yeah.
I mean, you had an incredible performance from Jalen Brunson, who is without any question is an MVP in this league, because without him, the Knicks would be nowhere to be found.
He's got a case for first team all NBA, and I don't think he's going to get it, Walter, but he has a case for first team all NBA.
Well, he's not getting recognition from a lot of different areas, including the officials who, I'm sorry to say, and the Spur fan didn't like this when I put this out the other day. The Knicks got screwed on Friday night. There's no question about it. They got two very questionable calls against them, including a tip ball. And I couldn't tell sitting where I was sitting in the 200s. When you go look at a replay, you go, you got to be freaking kidding me, really? So the Knicks got screwed over by the officials on Friday night at the AT&T Center, or Frostbank, whatever it was. But nevertheless, with all that being said, that was an incredible basketball game. Watching Wemby go against Brunson, it was just back and forth, back and forth. And to have the entire arena, for the most part, standing for a team that is in last place and headed to their second consecutive lottery is quite the story. It really was.
That is it. I think you nailed it. That's the story, is that San Antonio, while we are bad, while we are an 18-win team currently, we are in love with where we are going on this squad. Like, we really do.
I don't know if
believe
I agree
in the with
future. That.
We believe in the future of Wemby.
Yes, in Wemby, but the rest of the franchise, no. They would I would say the majority, and I won't say 90%, but I would say the majority of the fans in this town would like to have Greg Popovich removed.
Yeah, but we're not cheering for Julian Campani, bro. They're not standing and rising for the performance of Julian Campani.
No, he's not even on the floor.
It's that Wemby is our future. We are thrilled and elated that we have a chance over the next however many years, to really matter in this league. And the game I went to on Sunday night against the Warriors wasn't nearly the level of competition that yours was. But to watch Wemby go against Steph Curry and against Klay Thompson and against this historically great Warriors team, and to really hold his own, to block Curry's shot several times at the rim, to be in that arena against those guys, and to make the game quite interesting down the fourth quarter. It got interesting down the stretch. It's impressive. Look, the Spurs are not great. By the way, they did that without Vassell, without Sohan. I kind of think they're better without Sohan, but that's just me. I can't stand him. I'm sorry.
Not quite sure why, but okay.
Because he doesn't shoot, because he can't score.
I mean, I wish I had done my research and I thought about this. I'd like to see what their record looks like up against the rest of the NBA in the last half of the season. Take out the first 41 games and see where they are.
Still shitty. Now, they did come off a three-game.
Not quite so shitty.
Yes, but not as shitty. They did come off a three-game win streak.
So let me ask you this question. I threw this out on X and Twitter or whatever the other day. If you had this situation, would you prefer the Spurs to be in contention for a play-in spot? Or would you like them to be where they are right now, in contention for a top three pick?
Oh, 100%. I wanted them right where they are.
Top three pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody said, one of the Spurs made a comment about, we wish we had been this way, earlier in the season, playing better or whatever. I said, well, no, that you're in a great position right now because you have a great opportunity right now, and it's close. I don't know if they're tied for that last spot now.
They are.
And it's not a big difference. It's 14% compared to, I think, 10% of getting the one of the top three picks.
They're tied with Charlotte.
So, there's no question you don't want this team to be that good. Otherwise, you're not getting that top three pick. And there's no guarantees. I understand that. We all know that. Everybody, and again, this is for the Twitter followers. We all know what the rules are for the draft picks, okay? Nobody needs to explain it to each other. You don't need to tell me. I've been watching the NBA for many, many years, probably more so than you. I don't need to be told.
Yeah, and
Told what happens or the, hey Wally, there's no guarantee. Even if they put freaking know the goddamn rules, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, do people tell you that?
Oh, my God. I had to, my Easter Sunday was filled with blocking people on Twitter who were just out of control.
There's no guarantee we aren't invaded by aliens tomorrow.
Walter, don't
no,
have
I
another.
No, I can guarantee you that.
Don't,
have,
an, don't have another heart attack.
No, and for me, it's easy. It's always interesting to see the NBA because it's really hard in the NBA to go last to first. It's almost impossible.
Except for if you're the Spurs and you draft Tim Duncan.
I mean, there is a process you need to go through. This isn't the NFL where you do go last to first. Yeah. And the lottery helps you, but you don't turn it around in 1 year.
Guys, this is exactly what I would have prescribed. Okay, you're going to be a bottom three, maybe four team, and get a high draft pick.
Yep.
Wimby made it through the season healthy. Okay, that is a huge spike of the football right there. Mm-hmm. Huge. No major injuries.
Underrated.
He has excelled in the minutes he's played. Like, they were able to keep him on a reasonable minutes restriction, and he still excelled in those minutes. Like, conversation for defensive player of the year kind of shit. There's no doubt that he is a future super duper star. Not just superstar, he's one of the pillars of the league going forward. You got everything you wanted out of this season. Sans, maybe one thing, and that is that Toronto certainly looks like they're going to be a bottom six team right now. That's where they're sitting. So the pick from Toronto will not convey if it finishes this way, and I think it's going to, because they're
So you won't get the pick this year. You may get it next year.
It'll convey next year, which
or it
to
could
me,
happen in 3 years.
Which to me, Walter, is not such a bad deal because this is a crappy draft. You didn't necessarily want it in a crappy draft. Getting it next year, even better. And there's nothing, there's nothing about the Toronto organization that tells me that they're going to be a whole lot better next year.
Was Jontay Porter betting that they were going to finish this low?
Here's the other thing I'll mention about the, obviously, Bissell and Sochan are out with the season now. If you didn't know, if you're just tuning in. The other thing I'll also mention, and this also gets overlooked in this town for probably on purpose. Nobody ever takes any shots at the Spurs. They just don't. They don't want to, especially in the media, because they don't want to get on the bad side of the Spurs. For me, I don't give a fuck. So here's what I'll tell you.
You're already on the bad side.
For the San Antonio Spurs, if you didn't know this, and you probably didn't know because they didn't tell you, it was Walt Clyde Frazier's 79th birthday on Friday night when the Knicks were in town. There wasn't a one goddamn mention of his birthday during the game on Friday night, which is an absolute disgrace.
Was he there calling the game?
Of course he was. Right. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Clyde Frazier is a nobody. He's a top 50 player of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. And you don't have the time to mention his name or put his photograph, a shot of him on the big screen? You got to be kidding me.
You're absolutely right.
The Spurs on a lot of levels are an absolute disgrace. They're a greedy franchise, and they don't give a crap about their past champions. We've seen that many times. They don't have one goddamn statue. The Spurs, they just incite me sometimes. They don't have a statue of any of their players. There's no link to their past whatsoever. It's like, I have to blame Greg Popovich, because Greg Popovich has shown you signs over the years that he doesn't live in the past. Everything is about now. You know, we're no longer the champs after we start this, you know, game one. Screw that bullshit. Celebrate your past. And that's one thing that I guarantee it comes from him. I'd be shocked if it doesn't, and it's all on him.
I think that's the ownership's job, though, to celebrate this.
He is the owner, for crying out loud. He's the owner of that franchise. They don't, but those guys, you know how many owners there are? The Spurs, there must be 100 of them.
You mean like the...
There's 1,000 different owners, a piece of the Spurs. Like, millions of people have a freaking stake in the Spurs. Shit, I wouldn't be surprised if you did, Bex.
No,
the Holtz
are still majority owner. I mean,
what do they own? 30%?
I don't know what.
There's
what
a million
percentages.
There's a million guys that own the piece of the Spurs. Yes or no?
There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah.
Anyway, so to me, Greg Popovich runs that franchise. We all know he runs that franchise. We also all know that he does not celebrate the past.
Yeah.
He has made that very specific many times. So let's blame him.
Spurs front office, we'd love to come down. We will put duct tape on Walter's mouth.
And even somebody on Twitter went back to the tell me about the Allen Iverson interview again. Oh, and they call me a racist punk bitch. I go, I prefer to be called a fucking bitch. Thank you.
Wow.
No, it was just ugly on social media this weekend.
I thought you're one who likes to celebrate the past.
Listen, as I've talked about on this program, I had nothing to do with that interview. I said nothing that was racist. I got nothing to be ashamed of other than I laughed maybe a couple of times. And I took too much shit, once from Richard Oliver, that piece of shit, and the rest from the San Antonio Spurs, and the rest from you fans. So go F yourself.
Thank you.
There you go.
Walter, Surly Walter. I love it when we get Surly Walter in here.
You want more Surly? I'll give you more Surly. More Surly?
Okay. Amp it up.
All right, so here's my next one. The Golf Club of Texas. I got nothing personal against them, but they've already tried to screw over a 14-year-old kid, believe it or not, as they tried to change the rules on the fly for an NISD contract, which includes Sotomayor High School. Apparently, the kids are allowed to play golf at Golf Club of Texas for free at any time. That was the contract. That's what it stated. That's according to their coach. Well, Golf Club of Texas wanted to change things on the fly when my kid and his two buddies on the Sotomayor team showed up on a Saturday afternoon and had a tee time, all that stuff. They scheduled a tee time. They did everything the right way. And then we're told, no, you can't do that. We can't have three 14-year-old kids playing golf here on a Saturday afternoon for free. Well, then don't sign the contract. And then on top of that,
Walter, Did they have a tee time?
Of course,
they
had a tee time
reserved.
Of course, they did.
Okay, well then,
because they do. And if you don't know this, if you have a kid in your family that likes golf, get them a youth on course membership because they get to play anywhere, basically in the country for $5.
Actually,
anywhere.
Other countries as well.
That's right.
Yeah, Australia is included.
Chile. Cool. Yep.
We looked at this a bunch of weeks ago.
The other thing is that, so the district golf tournament is taking place yesterday and today. So I was there yesterday cheering on my kid and in fact the other three kids on the foursome. They had the balls to charge parents $55 for the use of a cart. A rental, $55 is absolutely, I don't know what the adjective is to put on that.
It's asinine.
That's more than asinine. $55 is an absolute ripoff. And they should be, the Golf Club of Texas and Bo, who runs that freaking place, should be ashamed of themselves that they do $55 just to rent a cart. Who's going to get the carts? You going to give it to some golfer? There's no room on a goddamn golf course. How are you going to let somebody play golf when you got kids all over the freaking place?
So you're saying you didn't take it away from somebody who had a tee time.
That's
a paying customer. That's, I got to admit, $55 is like three times more than he ought to be charging. $20? If it had been $20, would you be bitching?
Yeah, I think it should be. Like I said, what are you going to do with those carts?
Well, you still have to pay for the energy to charge them, buddy. Or I don't know if they're gas or electric, but one or the other.
Ooh,
you got to pay for the fuel.
That's expensive.
I mean, it is something. It's not nothing.
I'll give it $5.
God,
well, listen, it doesn't matter to me because I didn't rent a cart. I won't rent a cart because I'm more athletic than that. So I walked the 4 miles of the course yesterday.
That is athletic.
Damn right. Darn tootin'.
Good right. for you. Glad right. to survive.
I want to hit some NBA really quick.
Let's go.
All right. Give me your thoughts on this. This is kind of funny. If I had told you these teams, you tell me at the beginning of the season, you tell me which one of these teams you thought would be in the play-in game and which ones would be in the top six. Ready? Okay. We will start with Miami, Philadelphia, Atlanta, or Orlando. To start the season, which one of those teams would you have thought would be in the top six?
Well, certainly not Orlando.
It's Orlando.
Of course it's Orlando.
It's fucking Orlando.
Yeah.
And not only are they in fifth place, not sixth, they are clear, okay? They're basically sewn in to being a top six at this point. There's, you know, teams have, it differentiates, but between about 6 and 9 games, depending mm-hmm. on who you are.
And the reason I says that they're in the top six, Mr. Bexler?
Paolo Banchero?
Okay, there you go.
What?
I was just asking.
Was I wrong about something?
No, I just wanted to know why they're out there.
No, they're good.
Why are they good? Because nobody expected them to be good. So I asked you, why are they good?
They are good
and
because
you gave the correct answer.
Yes, Paolo Banchero is him. He is really, really good.
Yep.
I'm curious to see how it translates as he gets older. But for now, while he is still young and bouncy, he is awesome. Okay. He is really good, and they've surrounded him with a really good cast. Mm-hmm. Some reason I'm blanking. Franz Wagner is also exceptionally good.
He's grown into a very good player, which is just like the Orlando Magic, unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, it's really impressive. And then to flip it, I would have thought that Miami would have been better than this. They have really coasted, and they have not been impressive this season. And then Philadelphia, which I understand, they were better before Embiid got hurt, and then their best player gets hurt, so they fall down.
Back.
So he's coming back now.
Yep.
And you know, but they're going to be in the play-in. They're not going to get their way out of the play-in. They are three.
That's good. Then let's get them out.
They have three games. They're three games behind the sixth seed. That's going to be too hard for them to make up.
Let's get them out.
So they're going to be in the bottom. They're going to be in the play-in. Let's talk about Joel Embiid really quick. It really seems like this is just the way his career is going to go. How are we going to look back at Joel Embiid? Because I don't see him making some turn where he starts winning titles. I don't see it happening. How are we going to look back at Joel Embiid?
Missed opportunities.
Yeah. Disappointing talent. I mean, I would argue to you he is the most gifted, physically gifted big man that has ever been in the NBA. He is bigger, stronger, more coordinated. He can step out to the three. There's literally nothing that he can't accomplish physically on a basketball court.
Yeah, but you know, it's like...
Except for staying healthy.
Reminds me of the Ewing Knicks, in that the Knicks never had anybody... They didn't surround Ewing with anybody. You know, there's no Hall of Famers around Ewing. There's nobody who's the number two guy behind Embiid.
Allen Houston. Oh, sorry. Tyrese Maxey. Yeah, and they tried with James Harden, but I mean, look, at least Ewing took his team deep in the playoffs year after year, right? Mm-hmm. Like annually. I mean, whether it was the finals or the Eastern Conference Finals, he was competing for championships. I mean, we're really not seeing that from Joel Embiid.
Yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more from him, but
yeah, it's really disappointing.
I don't like the Sixers, so I want them out. Get them out.
Both Texas teams, not named San Antonio, are 9-1 in their last 10 games. Dallas 9-1, and they have supplanted themselves in the top six. Houston now 9-1 and trying to get themselves to the 10 seed so they can play in the play-in.
Well, the real 10 games off, 10 wins in a row by the Houston Rockets is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
That's smoke and mirrors right there.
Who of y'all had Oklahoma City as the number one seed in the West, which is where they sit right now? Nobody.
I don't think they're that good.
No. They're awfully good.
I don't think so. They're untested, unproven. They would not be my pick to come out of the West.
Yeah, it goes without saying they're untested and unproven, but they are really talented, Walter. I can't believe you're just kind of shitting on who they are.
I'm not shitting on them, but I don't. Let's see it. Let's see what they are in the playoffs. Playoff time.
SGA is a first team. I know who he is. NBA. He is. And Chet Holmgren has changed the way that team plays defense.
Chet Holmgren is nowhere near what Wemby is. That's for sure.
Nobody sure as hell helped his team.
I don't doubt that. But I watched them. I watched them against the Knicks the other night, and they're okay. They're not a good. Listen, Oklahoma City. Maybe they sneaked up on a lot of people. They're not a great team. Sorry.
Is anybody a great team right now? Who is a great team? I mean, I don't know. Do you think the Celtics are?
Oh, there's no question. The Celtics are the overwhelming favorites. Hey, listen, the Celtics at this point, if they don't win the championship, it will be a bitter disappointment. And you know, they have gone through two postseasons where they have had their hearts ripped out. This is their time. If they don't get it done now, when are the Boston Celtics going to win the championship?
You're right. Their roster is loaded. They are locked and ready to go. And really, their only big question mark to me is their head coach, Joe Mazzulla. Like, we really don't know whether Joe Mazzulla is a championship-level head coach. He's a massive question mark. And then maybe 1B is Jason Tatum I can carry you to a championship superstar. We haven't seen that yet.
And who would have thought he is. Who would have thought that Derek White would be such a huge and integral part of Boston trying to win a championship? Didn't see that coming.
I think most of us who are Spurs fans knew that he did a lot of the invaluable things that it takes for a team to win. It's all the little stuff that goes in between the lines, kind of the way Derek Fisher used to be for the Los Angeles Lakers. He doesn't have to be the star, but he's going to take a charge at a time that really matters. He's going to lock down on defense for 40 minutes that he plays. He's going to hit a big three when you don't think he's going to make it. Like, he's very much the Derek Fisher model.
He has benefited from a change of scenery.
Yeah.
No question about it.
He's excellent alongside other superstars, right? Yeah. He doesn't have to be person 1A the way he was in San Antonio. And Jaylen Brown has taken the leap. That's the other thing with them. So is there another great team? I mean, do we consider Denver, you know, a latent great team?
They're kind of disappeared off the radar at this point, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's been the Boston Celtics and everybody else is behind them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see who comes out of the West. It'll be interesting. He said, listen, the NBA postseason is always terrific.
So did you see that the NFL hates the NBA?
No, I didn't. What do you mean?
They're scheduling two games on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a cool head-to-head.
Yeah, and it's been interesting the last couple of years because Christmas Day has lined up on a traditional football day in December. This year, it's a Wednesday.
And they're still going to play football?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Two games. That's crazy.
Wow, that's a serious head-to-head.
That's absolutely crazy.
It's.
But you know what? The NFL is just, listen, we all know this by now, and if you don't, the NFL is just one bunch of greedy bastards. That's all there is to it. It
makes me really glad I don't celebrate Christmas.
Your day's coming, mister. There's going to be games on every single day of Hanukkah. Every single one of them. It is now game 7 of the Hanukkah special here on the NFL.
I'm good with that, Adam Schefter.
And to Walter's point, yeah, it's an incredible cash grab at the back end of the season to do that and muck around with schedules to get it all to line up. You're dealing with player rest during a playoff run?
Hey, listen, we all know that families hate each other, and they can't wait to get rid of them on holidays, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, what else you got over there?
All right, I'll give you a couple ones here. Let's see, what do I want to start with? Because we need to get to the eclipse real quick. McDonald's will sell Krispy Kreme donuts by 2026 in all stores.
Really?
How about that for a bundle?
Really?
It comes, as I wrote on social media, so you get a Big Mac, you get a 12-pack of Krispy Kreme donuts, and you get three free stents.
Three free stents.
That should be the bundle, right?
Wow.
Which came first? Ted Cruz supporting radio. We've seen him come out and be supported by, I think it's to the point where he wants to make sure that radio continues to be in cars, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He's behind the whole thing of they're like removing AM radios or something, and he wants to make sure AM radio does never leave.
So what happened first, Bob? Did that happen first, his support of radio, or did the check come from iHeart?
What check from iHeart?
iHeart Media has came out this week, has supported financially the Ted Cruz Super PAC.
Are you telling
me? Do we know for how much?
$23 million?
I don't know. I didn't see how much it was. Was it $23 million?
I thought I heard somewhere $23
million. That is an insane number.
I am not reporting that as fact. Please don't sue me for libel.
How crazy is that?
Well, I mean,
that's my former boss at iHeartRadio. I can't believe that would be incorrect. This is totally in line with what iHeart has turned into. What a piece of crap company that is.
You know, Walt, I'm going to quote iHeartRadio, but bastardize it a little bit. I wish them poorly in their future endeavors.
Okay, well,
excuse me, that's hilarious.
I was off by a couple decimal points. It only looks like it's 215,000. But
oh my God, that was a way oversell, Bob.
But still, nevertheless,
but
how could a radio station company support a politician? How is that possible?
Are you telling me that Ted Cruz is not the paragon of ethics and virtues?
No, that's the rules we have. These are the rules that we're playing under.
He's an illegal alien.
Corporate funding of politicians.
Back to Canada, wherever the hell he
came from. Corporate funding of politicians. That's where we are now. Ugh.
And the final one I got is, and Bobby, you wanted to talk about this today. I'll give you my thoughts on, and first of all, the eclipse is a little bit sketchy now. Maybe we could have clouds. We could, may not see anything. I think it's the most overrated thing I've ever heard of.
Dude, you can't have an event that is overrated that hasn't happened in 150 years.
Are you kidding me? We had a partial eclipse 2 months, 3 months ago.
Oh, that's a partial eclipse. It's different. I mean, that's like the play-in. That's like the midway
game.
Yes, that's the midway tournament in the NBA season.
It's the first four in March Madness.
Yes. Partial eclipse in North Dakota. It's only a full eclipse here in Texas because that parcel of land comes through that in that area.
Because this is God's country. Because this is God's country. God loves Texans.
And they're coming from everywhere to be here, bro.
I know.
They're saying 200,000 to Kerrville, and I'm like, no, more like a million.
I was in Kerrville for the eclipse a couple of months ago. Okay. I was on that mountain up there with the cross. Yeah, whatever that thing was.
God's country.
My food truck was up on that hill, and there was lots of people up there. Listen, I'm not gonna. Obviously, I can't say that this is going to be nothing because people are just over the moon over it.
Oh, no.
I just don't care.
You can't get a reservation at a Texas state park right now.
No.
They're all full up.
You can't get an RV. You can't get a hotel room. You can't. It's going to get sketchy on gas.
And then everything north of, what is it? It's only like a few miles north of downtown is where the totality starts.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But I will say this. I am actually amused as a little imp that we're looking at clouds.
Why? If it gets cloudy, that'll be really a disappointment for a lot of people. By the way, Wally's food truck will be at O.P. Schnabel Park on the eclipse on Monday. So there you go.
You should do well there.
Because it amuses me.
Unless it's cloudy. If it's cloudy, I'd almost cancel.
No, they're still going to be there.
They're still
going to be there going, maybe the clouds are going to break. Maybe the clouds are going to break. But admittedly, I'm also the guy that walks by the Alamo and looks at people and goes, you tourists.
Yeah. No, I can't believe what a bunch of naysayers you guys are.
Naysayers? Why?
I'm pretty excited about it, man.
I remember seeing the full eclipse when I was younger.
I don't.
Oh, sorry. You're a little bit younger than I am.
Yeah. But this is cool that it's coming through Texas.
It's going to be dark. So what? What's the point? What's the big deal? And Chris Duhl, who I absolutely love you. I love you, Chris. You know I do. He's looking to travel somewhere to get a better look at it. What are we looking at? You can't even look at it. That's the thing. We're so enthralled with something that we can't even see.
Make sure you use your glasses.
Am I correct?
Bro, people who are into the celestial are really into the celestial. Okay.
That's a shot at you, Duel.
No, I love Chris too. He's like
Jeff
the
Mechler
nicest.
Just said you're out in the stars somewhere, brother.
I did just say that. But Chris is literally the nicest guy in
He's
sports
so
media.
Heavenly.
No, it's other friends of mine too. Like if you're into the stars and stargazing, you
Jeff
are
thinks you're God.
Really into stargazing.
I mean it's all good. It lasts for 15, 20 minutes, and then it's done.
Hey, listen, I'm happy about it. If I can make some bucks off of it, I'm good.
Just like me.
And right now, you could get the Bexler Wally sunglasses to watch this whole thing by clicking on the link we'll have on the podcast, $20. Jeff will sign them.
Not $215,000?
No, Ted.
All right, boys, is that it?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
All right, see you next week.
Peace out.
Like and subscribe.
Or don't.
How y'all feel out there? Do you feel good? I said, do you feel good? Come on. The groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move. Uh-huh. I said, the groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move. Uh-huh. It feel good, don't it? It feel good. Uh-huh. It feel good because you know it's good.